Hi, this is your friend, Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. This is your host, Emmanuel Dagger, and I'm looking forward to creating another miraculous hour with you. The theme for today's show is something I've been wanting to share with you for a while. Today, we're going to talk all about mantras and the miraculous shifts they can bring into your life. I know I've been working with them for 3 years, and they've really helped transform my life, and I just can't wait to share our guest with you today, who is an expert in mantras. But right now, let's set the intention for today's show. So I just invite you to close your eyes and just take a deep breath in. Good, and just gently breathe out. Just centering. Let's take another one. Take a deep breath in. And release. Good. So today's intention is that we, every person listening right now, whether it's on the recording or whether it's live, that we all attract even more miracles into our lives on a daily basis. So if you agree with that, just affirm out loud, and so it is. Good. All right. So have you been? How have you been? I'm sure everyone is feeling the energies right now, but today I'd actually like to talk about something that I've been sitting with. It's been a concept that many of us have heard before, but I've really been sitting with it for the past few weeks and really digesting it and practicing it in my life. And the whole idea is about acceptance. And for me, I know that personally when I was younger, I'm still pretty skinny, but when I was younger, I was very skinny, and I always used to wish that I was more athletic, more built, more, you know, larger. And I'm sure many listeners can feel and relate to this, you know, whether you're either female or a male, you know, we're told we're too fat, we're too skinny, you know, we want to change this about ourselves, we want to change that about ourselves. And so it's interesting because I recently had an experience where I was asked to look older because the demographic for the thing that I was going to be a part of, they were worried that I would look too young and that that would turn people off. So that kind of took me back to when I was in my late teens, early 20s, where I was in the music business and you know, I was on my way up and getting some notoriety and, you know, traveling and, you know, getting to do music. And that world was very, very exterior based. So it's about, oh, how you look, how you have to act, how you have to be. So I remember I even had a coach that you know, the company hired so that they could prep me to be a certain way, and it so felt uncomfortable for me. I vowed to myself that I would never allow myself to be out of my authentic self and go back into that pattern. You know, when you're young, it's easier for you to be molded in a way, you know, you kind of compromise and you think that you have to fit in and things like that. But as I've been getting a little bit older, and now that I'm in my late 20s, I've really understood that I have to be myself and I can't be anything else. So for me, what that brought up was those old feelings of trying to change myself in order to fit in. And then I got this insight. And many of us, we know it's not by accident. Usually it could be the spirit, the higher self, creator, whatever we believe in. But I got that if we accept ourselves by accepting everything within ourselves, whether it's if we have we think we may have a big nose, or if we have, we're too skinny, or if we're too fat, or whatever. By accepting ourselves, we're accepting the universe. Just think about that. So by accepting every part of you, you are accepting the universe. And when we're not accepting ourselves, we're not accepting the universe. The universe that is perfect, that created us in its perfect image. And who's to say that we're not also perfect? Because we are. But because of conditions and you know, the mind making us feel separate than that energy that we truly are, we sometimes fall into that trap of not accepting ourselves. So for me, I've been working on this following affirmation. Every day I've been saying, by accepting all parts of me, I'm accepting all parts of the universe. So just think about that, and think about the next time where you feel a tendency to say, oh, well, I wish I was a little bit skinnier. I wish I was, you know, able to do this. In that moment, remember, wow, I'm not accepting myself, and that means I'm not accepting the universe. So in that moment, say, thank you, mind, for trying to protect me, for trying to, you know, share all these perspectives that you think that I should be. But the truth is, there's a part of me that is already whole and complete, and I don't have to change in any way in order to fit a certain stereotype or a mold that others think I should fit in. So that's just something that I wanted to share with you, and I always like to speak from my heart. I'm very honest, I'm sure you've noticed, and I can't be anything less than myself, and I hope that you also, I'm hoping that you are in that space as well. And if you haven't had that urge prior, or at least thought that it was unsafe to be your full self, I'm giving you right now your full blessing, because you, your highest self, is saying, please let me be my full self. So I'm giving you the full yes to give yourself permission to be your authentic self and accept yourself as you are, because by doing so, you're accepting the universe. So I hope that helped someone today, because I know that I needed to hear that, and I'm so grateful that I received that, and I've been working with that for a few weeks. So that being said, let's just jump right into our gratitudes today. So let's take a moment right now and affirm out loud what you're grateful for, because as you know, the more we're grateful, the more blessings we attract. And while you're affirming your gratitude, I would like to share some of the gratitudes that I've received. So Tamara in New York is grateful for the perfection that she sees in nature. So thank you. Yes, I am so grateful for that too. Jolene in Arkansas is grateful for good friends that always want and see the best for each other. Yes, those are the kind of friends that I like too. And Melissa in Los Angeles is grateful for being able to volunteer her time and energy in her local community. Great, Melissa. That's beautiful. We need more amazing beings like you. So if you have a gratitude to share, please go ahead and email me at Emmanuel@MiracleCafeRadio.com, and I will make sure to read them on the air. So that's Emmanuel@MiracleCafeRadio.com. And now I'm very excited to introduce our special guest today. Jason Adams is one of today's leading experts working with Sanskrit mantra. His background is in music performance, and he's a yoga instructor, massage therapist, energy and sound healer, and is a Vedic life coach. He's putting together a new mantra website, which I'm really excited about, just having a place where all the mantras, we can find them all in one space, which I have not seen yet, so I'm very excited about that. So I thought today would be a perfect opportunity to have Jason on and talk about the power of mantras. So Jason, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Thank you, Emmanuel. I'm very excited to be here tonight.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. And the theme, again, is all about the miracle of mantras. I know how much they've transformed my life. I was introduced to them a few years ago, and I, you know, wouldn't have believed it until it actually started working for me and just being consistent with them. But I really wanted to share you with my audience because I know you are such an avid, you're so for mantras. You are I call you the mantra man. So tell us a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking to the choir. I've seen so many miracles in my life with mantras. And actually, if we could kind of set the tone for the call, maybe step into a mantra right away and kind of connect all of our energies on the call.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. I know you do a lot of work with connecting with a breath. And so why don't we do a really nice breath mantra? So all of you listening on the call worldwide, if you want to close your eyes and kind of sit back, maybe put your feet flat on the floor, or if you're sitting on the floor, just come to a nice comfortable position, close your eyes, and just follow your breath. As you inhale, visualize the sound HAM coming in, H-A-M. And as you exhale, hear the sound SA, S-A-H, come out with the breath. So breathe in the sound HAM, and breathe out the sound SA. So as you breathe that in, pull that sound into your heart center, feel the sound HAM come in, merge with the breath into the heart. Exhale the sound SA. Breathe in HAM. Exhale SA. And once more, breathe in HAM. And exhale SA. Great. Thank you.
Thank you for setting that beautiful tone. And so, Jason, I want to know how you became interested in mantras. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, actually, I started mantras 5 years ago or so. I really got in depth into it about 2007. But prior to that, I have a background in music performance. And with all of my background in music, I was really into sound. And kind of while I was working on my master's degree in music, I got more into yoga and started doing some reading and research in yoga. So once I kind of saw the two together, I really started getting more into mantras and realized that that's a way of stepping more deeply into the yoga practice with sound. So that was just like a perfect fit for me, like merging both worlds.
Wow. And so can you share with our audience just a little bit about what mantras are for those who are just hearing about it for the first time and what they're used for?
Oh, yeah. Mantra really means two things. So it's putting together two words, ma, which means mind, and tri, which means liberation. So literally, mantra means liberation of the mind. It's kind of freeing oneself from the mind. So if you think of, like, all of us, everyday life, our mind is going go, 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 go. It's always thinking of something new. So it's always working on something. So working with a mantra literally is connecting oneself with, you know, taking the mind under one's control. So it's really kind of a tool, and it's more of like a science.
And
if that
how
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so are mantras the same thing as affirmation?
They can be used in very much the same way, but there definitely is a difference between the two. Mantras are really based on the Sanskrit language, and there are two languages in the world that are based on energy. So they're energy-based sounds, Sanskrit and Hebrew. Mm-hmm. All of the other languages are really more communication-based. So, you know, we're talking to each other with a language. But when Sanskrit, all of these sounds were derived, it was really people figuring out how to work with these sounds and do things energetically. They were creating things with these sounds. So mantra really is more about putting specific sounds together to make things happen. Affirmations are using, like, your language, and it's kind of putting us in the right frame of mind. So it, I kind of like thinking of affirmations as kind of turning our focus and pointing it in one direction, which can be really helpful. But if you put that on top of a mantra is actually putting the right sound and energy into that. So working together, it can work really well. But affirmations are really not quite as powerful as a mantra, because mantras are literally working with the sound vibrations.
Mm-hmm. And sound is really very healing and transformative, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, you can feel the vibration coming into you if you, you know, I work with, do some sound healing work, so I work with Tibetan singing bowls, and, you know, you can place that right on somebody's solar plexus and strike the bowl, you can feel that vibration going through your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
So just visualizing what that sound does healing-wise throughout the body, you know, that's really what I can feel a mantra kind of doing energetically. So the more I've worked with a mantra, the more I can feel it working on myself energetically as well. Yeah.
Mm. And so just to kind of simplify it, mantras are more about being out of the mind and just almost like feeling and just in energy space, whereas affirmation is more in the mind, right?
Yeah, an affirmation is kind of using the mind.
Mm-hmm.
A mantra is kind of
transcending
like
it.
Transcending it. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. And so, personally for you, how has working with mantras transformed your life?
Wow. How long do you want to talk?
We have about 30 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's something that I could give you many answers.
Give us some big, you know, big...
Some big highlights?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, so for me, 2007 was a really big year, and this is kind of the year that I really stepped into mantras. I don't know if you're how familiar you are with the Saturn return, but 2007 mm-hmm. was kind of when I was entering in that energy of my Saturn return.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of big things happened in 2007. February, I left my day job and went to work completely self-employed. So my personal income went it went quite down.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I was working. So I had that stress on me. In May, my car broke down. And when my car broke down, you know, I took it to the repair shop and the repairman said that, you know, this is actually going to cost more to repair it than what the car is worth. So you need a new car. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I don't really have a whole lot of money saved up. I have kind of a big problem. Like, I need to get a new car.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time, like, I really stepped into thinking, like, okay, I've been working with mantras for the last couple of years, just kind of more for fun rather than kind of being serious with it. So now I'm like, okay, I have a really big problem. I know mantras are said to completely eliminate problems, so this is my chance to really step into it. So I started working with this Ganesh mantra, which is Om Bakrutunaya Hum.
Mm-hmm.
So as I started working with this mantra is kind of like a 911 call to Ganesh. Ganesh is a remover of obstacles, so
mm-hmm.
working with this mantra, I decided, okay, I'm going to do Siddha mantra with this mantra, which essentially means you completely attune yourself to this mantra, you completely unlock the power of it. So doing a Siddha mantra, you actually have to say it 125,000 times, which if you're doing it an hour a day, it takes you about 60 days. It's 60 to 65 hours of actual chanting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I really powered through it, did it for like 2, 3, 4 hours a day, and
mm-hmm.
did it in maybe about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
As I was working with a mantra, I had no problem like getting the new car, getting more clients.
Wow.
Like I started having, you know, car payments, so I had to make more money. And I just started seeing new clients coming in. So that was my first like affirmation that, okay, these really do work, and I'm going to start being more serious about it.
Mm.
The other thing in 2007, like, the economy went down at the end of that year, like November, December. And that's when I realized, okay, I really need to start making more money. Like, people are less willing to pay for massage therapy, which is what I was doing. A lot of my income was coming from doing massage. That was kind of considered a luxury, and now that the economy went way down, I really need to start bringing in more money. So I started working with the Lakshmi mantra, Om Shri Mahalakshmi Swaha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I decided to do the Siddha mantra with this. So I did 125,000 times, and this is what got really crazy for me. When I got about 90% finished with this mantra, a new business opportunity came to me. And it was a network marketing company, and they were looking for more people to use the products and sell their products. And, okay, the name of the company is Zri, and Zri is another name for Lakshmi. So, okay, here I am sitting here working with a Lakshmi mantra to make more money, and literally this company named Lakshmi comes to me. Well, as I finished this 125,000 times of repetition, this is what kind of freaked me out in a way. Literally, the last day of me doing the repetitions, I'm 5 minutes away from, I have one mala left, so I have 108 repetitions left to go.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call from a friend that just went to a presentation, and she called me up and was ready to get involved with the company, and essentially she was calling me for a $500 commission. So I made $500 5 minutes before I finished the Siddha mantra with the Lakshmi mantra. So 2007 was kind of a big year for me in realizing that, okay, mantras are legit, they really work. Like, and it convinced me. There was no question about it. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. And so what's the actual significance of the 125,000?
As far as I know, there really isn't any significance with that specific number, other than the yogis and the rishis who kind of saw all of these original mantras. They practiced and practiced, and they kind of determined that 125,000 is the minimum amount of time for almost everybody to surpass a certain level karmically for them to open up the mantra. So the idea is kind of, if you do it at least that number of times, you've unlocked it.
Okay. And so now, is there a time frame, or can you do 125,000 over a period of 3 months or 6 months or whatever? Does it have to be like 1 month or?
For the Siddha mantra, you can take as long as you want. Yeah.
Okay. But as long as you've reached that point, you've kind of crossed that threshold.
Yeah. That's kind of the way it's thought of, yes.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm so interested because I take my time with mantras. I don't usually do hours a day, but I have been doing them for 3 years nonstop a few
minutes.
And
I think you're really good at intention, and intention is really helping us focus and streamline that energy. So you're using your energy in a really good and powerful way. For most people, we may not be as in tune with energy, so we may not know how to focus our energy. So just the sheer amount of repetition will ensure that we'll get better and better at it. So,
okay. And is there
any sheer repetition can be a good thing.
Well, since we're on the topic of intention, is there another way besides repetition to learn how to be more intentional with what we do and what we say, and especially with mantras? Do you have any like tools around that?
It's all about listening for me.
Mm.
Yeah, the more work you do with a mantra, mm-hmm. the more, like, okay, for me, working with mantras over the last couple of years, I've really opened up myself kind of intuitively and psychically. So I guess I would consider myself an empath now. So I can mm-hmm. feel other people's energy and chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really feel kind of the energy of working with a mantra. So the more I'm listening, the more in tune I'm getting with that mantra.
Wow.
So for me, working with a mantra, on the one side, you're training your mind to do one, you're repeating one sound over and over and over again. So you're training the mind to do one thing. So you're slowing the mind down on one side, which mm-hmm. on the other side, that kind of opens you up to listening more and feeling. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of equate listening and feeling in that same spectrum. So to me, it's your intention really, you get a lot more clear with what you're doing by the more listening you're doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And back to the 108, I know you said something about the number 108. I know it's a significant number for a lot of
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit about why it's significant?
Yeah. So, okay. A lot of listeners, you may be familiar with a rosary. So a rosary has 54 beads. Mm-hmm. There's, in India, they use something that's called a mala. So that's kind of like a necklace, but it has 108 beads on it. And it also has a meru bead, a guru bead. It's a mountain bead. So the last bead kind of contains the energy of the entire mala, but it has 108. There's a couple astrological significances, which I don't know exactly what those are, but there are astrological references. Mm-hmm. But the main significance for me actually is the Anahata chakra. Mm-hmm. So the heart center, if you look at like the meridian, the energy channels that go through the body. Well, in India, they call those channels nadis, N-A-D-I. Mm-hmm. So the nadis that flow through the body are kind of, you know, what sends the energy and feeds us energetically. If you look at the heart center, all of these nadis intersect at the heart center. And if you count them up, there are 108 channels that go through the heart. So by saying a mantra 108 times, you're literally sending the mantra energetically throughout and feeding your entire body. So you're attuning yourself physically, energetically with this mantra.
Wow.
So it actually is, to me, it's really important that somebody, that for myself, that I say it at least 108 times a day, just to send that energy throughout my entire being and keep myself in tune with that mantra.
So, see, now that I've heard that, because I've never heard that before, it makes more sense to me to do
the 108. Yeah, doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, it makes more sense to me to do the 108. But let's say someone, you know, they have to go to work, but they want to make sure that they squeeze it in. Would it still be beneficial for them to do mantras, like even if they could only do 54 or 30 or 40? Would that still be beneficial?
Yeah. Although I would say, on the other hand, to do 108, you know, you're only looking at 3 to 5 minutes a day to do 108. Mm-hmm. So if you can't handle that, maybe you need to work on your, you know, discipline
time skills. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, but you recommend 108, but it would still work if someone were to do, you know, like let's say they have a business interview, like a job interview, and they want to, you know, just
Really kind of energize themselves for that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, and you know, I even would think like saying it 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, just a handful of times before, you know, to get yourself kind of in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it like a breathing exercise, you know, just centering yourself. So just a handful of times could be really beneficial with that.
Oh, wow.
But another thing that I didn't actually touch on, that if somebody really wants to work with a new mantra, there's also another kind of recommendation that they work with it for 40 consecutive days. So the thought is, if you're familiar with Jack Canfield, there's something that, an example that he really talks about that I love. He talks about changing the mind, like on a chemical level, you have to work with something 28 consecutive days.
Mm-hmm.
So they did this, he references this NASA experiment where they made people glasses so that their vision was impaired so that they saw everything upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind on day 28 flipped everything up. So, okay, you're wearing these upside down glasses, but now you see everything right side up.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally took your brain 28 days to figure out how to reverse and change this. And once you take the glasses off, you know, a couple days later, it'll go back. But that 28 days is kind of a significant number that the mind takes. Well, with the yogis and the rishis, they kind of said that 40 is also a significant number. So I think to really change habits in the mental space, we need to do it at least 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to follow kind of the tradition that's been taught, if you say a mantra 108 times a day for 40 consecutive days,
mm-hmm.
then you've made some significant change. So whatever whatever you're using the mantra to do, you've really broken through something on a significant level.
That's pretty much, so that was one of the questions. So that, like, between 28 days and 40 days, you're actually going to start seeing palpable change.
I think so. And, you know, the more in tune you get with it, the sooner you're going to start to see change. You know, you may see now that I'm, like, the law of attraction things just works faster for me the more that I work with mantras. So I start seeing things, you know, in a day or two.
Yeah.
Versus it may have taken me a month to really see actual change. Mm-hmm. There's a couple mantras that can really help. You know, for example, if somebody has a lot of anger issues, they've just got, you know, maybe they had a really messed up childhood and they've just got a lot of resentment over their parents or whatever the situation was. So they may have a lot of anger that they really need to release out of their body. And that may take, you know, a good month to really start breaking that up. But once you start breaking it up, then you may have emotional releases, seeing some crying, like all of that stuff coming out. And on day 40, or maybe beyond day 40, that's when you really start feeling, you know,
lighter.
New energies coming in.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, you're right. Because we've been working with these for so long, now anytime I think, oh, okay, I would like to attract a little bit more, you know, optimum health, so let me go use this, you know, I'll go to my go-to. And then literally it's like a 24-hour thing, whereas before it used to be like a month or two when I started seeing.
Oh, I know.
So,
and that's something that I need to be careful with on one hand, because it's almost like whatever I think of, that's going to happen. So you kind of have to make sure that I'm always thinking about the things that I want to draw into my life.
Right.
And
rather
not
than
just
like
have
that.
Random, you know, thoughts of depressed thoughts or I generally am a very happy person, but, you know, I have to be careful of what I think about.
So really it's about being disciplined and dedicated and giving yourself at least 28 days, if not 40 days, to see the result. Now, for those who think they want it, because I knew in the beginning, you know, I really thought there was times when I was like, oh, I really want to try this. But then, you know, the mind comes in and it's like, well, I'll do this tomorrow or I'll do this tomorrow. So what would you say to someone who thinks they want to, you know, change their life, but is not really fully willing or kind of making excuses to doing the work? What would you say to them, and
yeah.
How can they move out of that?
Well, that's really what this is I think, in place. Like, it is forcing somebody to have more discipline. So that's kind of, okay, the 40-day rule kind of is in place that it's 40 consecutive days. It's not 40 total days. So if you miss a day, you got to start over. And I don't think energetically, I think you did get some benefit. If you went 7 days and then you skipped a day, you got some benefit from that. But it's really about breaking through to a higher level. Like, this is breaking you, you're stepping into a higher consciousness. So your old habits, your old self, those are kind of what's holding you in that old place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to step into something new, you have to, it's like the old stuff really wants to hang on, and it's going to make anything happen to stop you from doing that last day. So I know Thomas Ashley Frand, who passed away about a year and a half ago, is one of the foremost experts on mantra, and he would always talk about, he's seen so many people having major crises on like that last week of their 40-day discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, you know, maybe subconsciously we've kind of created this self-limiting kind of situations to stop us from breaking through to this.
It's so interesting. And, you know, for me, I realized that when that's happening, when my mind is like, no, I don't want to do this, that's when I should do it the most. So
exactly.
I actually, it's like feedback. It's like, okay, guess what?
It's perfect feedback.
Yeah.
And I got so much energy off of that just hearing you say that, because that's so true for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody listening right now, it's feedback. Got
yeah,
it.
when you're feeling resistant to something you know you really would like to step into, and it's feeling like, you know, you're almost finding every excuse not to do it, whether it's eating healthy, whether it's exercise, whatever. So really know that there's an amazing breakthrough on the other side. So it's feedback that's telling that.
Exactly. If you like to do something like vision boards or, you know, writing down your goals, things like that, that's a good time to really go back and look at your vision board, look at your goals, and like, okay, this is why I'm doing this. It doesn't matter how crappy today is. You know, I may have lost my job and got an eviction notice on my door, and all these things just happened today. I'm not going to do any chanting. Go back and look at your goals, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad that that came forth so that we can share. I'm, you know, and when I say it, I'm saying it to myself as well. So
yeah.
I have an important question, and it's, well, they're all important, but this one specifically, if someone grew up Catholic or, you know, Christian or whatever, and is a bit nervous about working with mantras because of some of the misconceptions they've heard or whatever, what would you share with them? Can you be any religion and work with them? Like, does it matter?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. Good for you. If you love religion, so, like, you know, I'm very spiritual, and it doesn't matter if you're religious or you're not. The thing with mantras, okay, as I mentioned earlier, Sanskrit is an energy-based language. So honestly, whether you believe that this mantra is going to work or not, doesn't really matter. It may slow down the process, but because you're saying those specific vibrations, it's working on you energetically, and it's changing your chemistry.
Right.
So even if you believe in, like, Ganesh or Lakshmi or any of these different energies, it doesn't matter. It's going to work whether you believe it or not. Now, as far as, you know, somebody being religious, I grew up Lutheran, Christian, and I did have a little bit of reservations kind of as I first started reading about yoga. When I first stepped into it, I read Autobiography of a Yogi, Paramahamsa Yogananda, which, great book. And I, if anybody is interested in kind of stepping into yoga, I highly recommend that book. For me, okay, that kind of turned me into, okay, there's so much more to yoga than just exercise. This is amazing. So I started reading more of his writings and teachings and some of his talks. And it turns out Paramahamsa Yogananda talked about Jesus a lot. And to me, that really spoke to me and was like, oh, there's so many similarities between all of the things that he's talking about in Jesus and all of this. It's like they're talking about the same thing, but two different religions or two different perspectives. And to me, I've come to, you know, to my own personal realization over the last few years, we're talking about the same thing, just using different words and different names. And it doesn't matter what you call God. If you connect with Jesus, if you connect with Allah, Ganesh, Shiva, Lakshmi, and any of these, like, you're really connecting with higher consciousness energies, and that's all that it's about. So it's interesting, like, I can feel some of these energies now. So to me, Jesus and Ganesh feel very similar. So, like, that's awesome. Does that make sense? Like,
absolutely.
It really doesn't matter. I had some reservations initially, but now that I've really opened up into it, I could care less.
Yeah, it's all about vibration, you know?
It is,
It's all vibration, and everything is vibrating at a certain frequency, and if something is going to move you from a lower frequency to a better feeling frequency, why not? It doesn't matter what religion
and
background.
And honestly, if I could, you know, somebody that has maybe has a reservation like that, if they could feel what I have felt and some of the experiences that I've had after working with some of these mantras, if they could experience that, they would be doing exactly what I'm doing.
Right, so, because they would feel more connected to whatever they believe in. So
absolutely.
It would be a more connection, a feeling, rather than just a going through the motions type of a thing. So,
yeah. And it really is about connecting on a personal, individual level rather than just, you know, going through the motions, like you said,
So what are some of your personal favorite mantras, and why are they your favorite?
Ooh, good question. The first mantra I've been given, and I guess I would say I do have a guru that, although I'm not connected with him, I don't live in an ashram, but I have, when I did my yoga teacher training, I was connected with a guru, and the mantra that we were all given is Om Namah Shivaya. So this is a Shiva mantra, and Om Namah Shivaya essentially means I bow with respect to my inner self. So it's connecting to higher consciousness within myself. And working with this mantra has been very interesting to me. Like, I can, literally just saying that, I can feel energy in my third eye, in my forehead. And so it's really brought a lot of higher consciousness to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Love working with that. There's another mantra that, as I mentioned, I do a lot of healing work as well. And also through that ashram, there's a medicine Buddha mantra that I've been given. And I love working with that. And I'll share the mantra if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
It's, okay, so the mantra is, Tadyatombe kazimbe kazimahabe kazimbe kazirasa samungate svaha. Tadyatombe kazimbe kazimahabe kazimbe kazirasa samungate svaha. Taritombe kazimbe kazimahabe kazimbe kazirasa samungate svaha. So I love the energy of that mantra just because it's like a song, and I can, I don't know, I just love to sink into those sounds.
And so that one is, you said medicine, so that's like physical healing, or?
Yeah, so it's healing on many levels. You can say that mantra on behalf of someone, so you can kind of, your intention is going out to help maybe a loved one with a health challenge. So you can say it on behalf of someone. You can say it for yourself on a physical, emotional, spiritual healing. And it has been said that this mantra is, you know, also considered an enlightenment type of a mantra. So you can work with this to reach higher states of consciousness as well. Yeah,
wow.
But I use that very much in a healing way, yes.
Wow, so those are some really good ones, and I know I'm really excited because you're going to be creating, like I said in the beginning, a database where anyone who has, whether they are looking to attract more abundance, whether it's they're looking to heal some physical thing or emotional thing, or, you know, just have more enlightenment, they're going to be able to find all of that in one place. So I know we're running out of time, but I'd love for you to share and talk a little bit about this website and this project and when it's coming out and where people can find it.
Ah, I love what I'm embarking upon, mantradatabase.com. Mm-hmm. So all of you listening, check out that website. It's under construction. I'm building it, but it's going to be a resource that contains every Sanskrit mantra that I can get my hands on, and a resource that where essentially you can type in a keyword, you can type in love, and five or six mantras are going to pop up that all talk about, these are all mantras that are connected with love. Or if you're looking for a relationship, these are five or six mantras that you can work with to draw in a relationship into your life. Mm-hmm. So it'll tell you specifically, like, this is for male, or this is attracting a female, and so you can find pretty much whatever you're looking for. And so that's my idea. There are some really wonderful books out there, but there isn't one resource that contains everything and is really functional.
Yeah,
so,
and easy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know for me, I had to spend a lot of time and energy just to find mantras that
exactly.
I wanted. And I know And I know a lot of times in the past, you had to be given a mantra, right? Like,
I still really do believe in that tradition, because the more you work with a mantra, the more potent it becomes. So if you're given a mantra from somebody that's really used it for a long time, it's almost like you're already jogging as you've been given the mantra, rather than having to start from the very beginning. Mm. So that's great. But, you know, not all of us have gurus. So it's great to actually have a resource where anybody in the world can find this.
And have
so mantradatabase.com.
Yes.
And actually, for all of those listening today, I do have a little gift that I'd like to share with you. If you'd like to go onto the website, there's a little section where you can enter your info. So just type in your name, your email address, and a little comment. You can type in a subject that you listen to the Miracle Cafe radio show. And for those of you that would like, I'll give you a mantra. If you know your specific birth dates, the time you were born, where you were born, enter in that info in the comment section, and I do a little bit of Vedic astrology, so I'll look up your specific birth time, and I'll give you a mantra, a planetary remedy for your weakest planet. So this will kind of help you, if you have a weak planet in your chart, this will help break through some potential barriers that you have from stepping into everything that you want.
Oh, Jason, that's so generous. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
So either you can email me directly at jason@mantradatabase.com,
yes,
or go right onto the website and enter in the info.
Definitely, and I'll make sure I post that on Facebook and everything.
Oh, great.
So that, yeah, perfect. So thank you. We have run out of time. I could talk to you so much longer. There's some other things I want to talk to you about, but we'll get it next time. But I am so honored that you are here today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight on mantras. And hopefully we inspired someone to really, you know, look into see if that's something that would be they'd like to choose to work with them. So thank you so much, Jason, for being here.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And I know that you had a special audio that you would like to share with our audience. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The next song you're going to listen to over the break is a Shiva kirtan. So Om Namah Shivaya is the mantra that I mentioned. And this chant is sung at the beginning of every Adnyasara yoga class that John Friend began. So this is really stepping into Shiva energy. This is drawing in higher consciousness and really attuning oneself to the Shiva energy. So I hope you enjoy the next song that you're going to hear.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jason, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We are actually going to go ahead and play out with Jason's healing mantra. So I'm very grateful for your presence today, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
honor the essence of being, the auspicious one, the luminous teacher within and without, who assumes the forms of truth, consciousness, and bliss, is never absent, full of peace, ultimately free and sparkles with divine luster. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchidananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase Shivaya Gurave Satchidananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya. Shivaya Gurave Satchidananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.